foremost on the Council's agenda and minds was Wi-Fi internet access. Wi-Fi has become the standard in many airports and other public spaces. Sitka's Harrigan Centennial Hall has it, and so do the high schools in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Haines. Student Council member Charles Hart said Wi-Fi is a productivity tool.
I found that Juneau was really nice. I was able to get a lot of work done there last year when I was visiting for OSUG, and so that was a really positive experience because we were able to actually, you know, get a lot of stuff done that we wouldn't have been able to if we'd been, say, visiting Sitka High School from out of town.
Board members asked the council if sufficient numbers of students used laptops to justify the expense of Wi-Fi. Council President Helen West estimated that around 50% of upperclassmen had computers and that she often shared hers with students who were without. Senior Amy Parent believes that there is a latent demand for laptops in school that Wi-Fi would address.
I think that number would increase if we had working Wi-Fi here at the school, because a lot of kids now say, well, oh, I don't really need a laptop for Sitka High School. But I think that if we have Wi-Fi, more people would be inclined to buy laptops during high school and to bring them to school and to use them.
School board members seem persuaded by the utility of Wi-Fi in other schools. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw said he wanted ultimately to install networks in the high school, Pacific High, and Blatchley, but he wanted to proceed with caution.
We want to do it the right way, and just adding an open source type of Wi-Fi is not what we think would be in the best interest of the district.
Student council members said they respected the district's position on filtering internet content and directed the administration to Haines High School. They said the Wi-Fi system there filtered out social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace, but allowed unrestricted research. Student concerns also ran to the low-tech. Soap dispensers were not getting filled regularly. Student Amy Parent said everyone thinks soap is a good idea. Clocks in the gym and locker rooms had broken and had not been repaired, and weightlifting equipment was deteriorating due to what Council President Helen West described as poor ventilation. When pressed for details, West said that condensation from all the sweaty bodies and the lack of operable windows was rusting the machines. Superintendent Bradshaw said he would attend to all the problems. But not everything the students brought forward could be fixed with a phone call to maintenance. West talked about a need to integrate Mount Edgecombe High School students more into the life of Sitka High and the life of the Sitka community. She said Edgecombe students seemed segregated by more than a bridge.
And I'm not going to lie, I know there's a little bit of racism that goes on between our two schools, and it's been my idea that we could get our schools, now that they're 3A, into a more healthy rivalry and better acquainted, if you will.
West said she would like to begin working towards a day when, besides packing the gyms for the new 3A rivalry, the students at the two schools could share classes and activities like music and drama. She said the respective student councils were going to have dinner in January and hold a lock-in to talk about ways to bring the two student bodies together. They were also going to explore cooperating in a National Honor Society project to raise $10,000 by this summer to build a library in a Guatemalan village. West called the final topic of the night the most sensitive. In its own meetings, plus a conference with the high school administration, the student council had found the new statewide drug policy ineffective and Sitka coaches to be inconsistent in their discipline. Council member Charles Hart suggested that students were getting a mixed message from the policies of individual coaches, the district, and the state.
And with that, we just want to make sure there are checks and balances for these coaches, to the point where they can't make executive decisions that go far beyond what the school has dictated. And so we just want to make sure that there's not large inconsistencies like that going on between different sports by coaches, by teachers, and things like that.
The Alaska School Activities Association, or ASA, adopted tighter drug rules a couple of years ago, including the four strikes and you're out policy that would permanently ban some student offenders from activities after a drug awareness course and other intervention measures failed. Helen West told the school board that the council did not support this formula, saying it lacked one-on-one counseling with a trustworthy adult. She cited her own experience at home.
I sit down and talk to my parents, and like, if I can know that they understand where I'm coming from and they can hear me, I'm more apt to learn myself and grow from that.
West said an internet or video-based drug education course was likely to go in one ear and out the other. School Board President Tom Conley said that the board opposed ASA policy for many of the same reasons, but the district was forced to comply or lose its ability to compete in statewide athletics. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw recommended that the student council address a letter to ASA to ask for the flexibility to provide counseling in lieu of a course, with the assurance that the same material would be covered, but in a different manner. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.